Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Shavuos Daf Lamed Zayin. We begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis right after the Mishnah, so it's two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Rav Acha Bar Huna. So that was one Amira, together with Virav Shmuel Brei, the Rabba Bar Bar Chana, with a third one, Virav Yitzchak, Brei de Rav Yehud. These three Amoraim, Tanu Shvois Be Rabba. They studied Maseches Shvois, the halachos that we are learning today, in the Beis Medrash of Rabba. So they were experts, and Pagabhu Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana met up with them, and he said, okay, you're learning Shvois. I have an interesting question for you. So we all know that typically, one will bring a korban if he committed something, you know, b'shoigig, unintentionally. But typically, if it's done b'mezid, there is no korban, barring several exceptional cases, one of which happens to be shavuos ha'pikadon, as we learn in the Mishnah, even if he transgresses b'mezid. So this fellow denied his friend's monetary claim, he swore about it. Of course, it turns out to be a false shavuos because he admitted. He must bring a korban asham. He'll add a fifth, a chaymish, to the payment as well. So that's the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah. Now the question is, suppose, aside from having transgressed knowingly, b'mezid, there were edim that warned him, please don't do that. We know you owe him the money. We know the pikadon, the item that was given to you for safekeeping, is in your garage. Why would you deny it? It warned him ahead of time. What happens then? Does that change the equation? Perhaps it now shifts to the standard punishment that one would get upon being warned about violating a law, which is Malkus. Is there Malkus with carbon? That was Rav Kahana's question today. Amar Lahu, he asks them as follows. Hizid b'shvuos ha'pikadon. This fellow was amazed when he did Shavuos HaPikadon. And the Edom warned him ahead of time. Mahu, what's the status? Shall we say, given the Chiddushu, since this is something unusual, the fact that you bring a korban by amazed, we hardly find it. The B'chol HaTorah typically, elsewhere, lo yashkechan mezid, the Maisi korban. A korban is not brought by a mezid, v'ocha maisi karban, but here it is. In which case, it doesn't matter under what circumstances, whether he was warned or not, the same punishment applies. Lo yishna asru bay, it shouldn't really matter. Whether the edim warned him, lo yishna lo yasru bay, or they did not, karban is the answer. Or you can say, hani mili, when is karban the answer? Heichad lo yasru bay. When they did not warn him. But if he was warned, milka laki carbon lay maisi. He'll get malchus and not a carbon. Oidilma, third option is both. Havaha avdina. The bezin will give him malchus. That's the punishment from the bezin. And he'll have to bring his carbon for personal kapara. So which way is it? Carbon, malchus, or both? In a case where the fellow was warned by the edim. Amri lay. So they responded to him. Well, we have a brisa with the answer. Tanina, we have a brisa. Chamura himenu shvuos ha'pikadon. So, in comparison to shvuos ha'edus, shvuos ha'pikadon seems to be more severe. Shvuos ha'edus is where the edim refused this fellow's invite to show up in court and testify on his behalf about his monetary claim. They swore that, you know, we have no clue, we have no involvement, we don't know anything that can help you. They swore falsely. They will bring a korban as well, even if it was b'mezid, as we learned in the last parak. Now, the brisa here is matching up, comparing shvuos ha'pikadon, which involves ordinary people, Reuben against Shimon denying Reuben's claim, versus shvuos ha'edus, with the edim, with the ones who falsified their position. So the brisa says, chamura himena shvuos ha'pikadon. Shvuos ha'pikadon is a step above shvuos ha'edus in terms of consequence. Shechayav nalzdoina makos. Because by mezid there is makos. Oh, by shvuos ha'pikadon. Val shegigasa, but if it's b'shegig, unintentionally, asham b'kesef shkolim, brings a asham that costs him 2 shekel. The fact that the Braisa references Makos by the Mezid of Shvuos HaBikotin, apparently they were Edom on the scene and they warned him, otherwise he wouldn't get Malkus. Mechlal de Asrabei, apparently they warned him. And what does the Braisa say in terms of the result? V'ka'amar, the Braisa says Makos in carbon law. Yes, Makos no carbon, that's your answer. Edom warned by the Shvuos HaBikotin generates Malkus. Now, if so, what's the severity? What's the chumrah in Pikadin over Edis? Yeah, Pikadin gets Malkus, and Shvuos Edis gets a carbon when it's bemezit. Why is the Braisa citing this as an advantage in Pikadin over Edis? My chumrah. Well, a person would rather write out a check, bring a carbon, and get whipped, right? The nicha leila inish, a person would prefer to bring a carbon, the ma'isi carbon, as per shvuas apikodin, v'loyloki versus getting whipped as per shvuas eidus. Okay, so we have an answer to the question. Question was, what if the eidim warned him not to do a shvuas apikodin? He did it anyways. Does he stick to carbon? Is it malchus? Is it both? The answer is, appears to be malchus. Amar lhu, Rabba bar Isi. So Rabba bar Isi responded to them, oh, not so quick. The proof that you brought from this brisa isn't necessarily a proof. That's going like a different opinion, like Reb Shimon, who holds, we had this a couple of days ago, he holds that by Shvuos HaPikadon, if it's bemezid, there's no carbon. He disagrees with this halach entirely. He learns from Me'ilo over there, there's no carbon by mezid. So, yeah, the brisa is following his opinion. Man Tana. Who's the author of this braisa? Who adheres to this opinion that a mezid by shvuas abikadon doesn't get a carbon? That's Reb Shimon. That explains why he gets the malchus in the braisa. Aval l'rabbanon carbon amimaisi. But certainly according to Rabbanon, who hold that a carbon does apply even by mezid of shvuas abikadon, perhaps the same would apply even if he was warned by the eidim. It wouldn't really change the equation. So we have no conclusion. Once again, Amr lu Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana was the one who asked them this question, and he responded as well with another negation, putting away that braisa. Bar minoda, you can't, bring in that braisa as proof, because you had the incorrect version in the braisa to begin with. Da ano taninilo, I have taught the braisa, learned it and taught it. Vacha taninilo, and this is my version. The braisa begins. Echad zadoyne vechad shegegas asam bekesef shkolam. Regarding this comparison between Shvuas HaEdus and Shvuas HaPikadon, we say that Shvuas HaPikadon always brings an Asham, whether it was Bemezit or B'Shegig. So there's no mention of Makos at all, and there goes the whole Raya. But then the question is, why is the Braisa citing that as a Chumrah in Pikadon over Edus? They're both bringing Karbanos. Umay Chumrah. Well, Dilu Hasam Chatas Basdanka, because it's more expensive by Pikadon. By the Edus, it's merely a Chatas, which can cost you a Danka. 1/6 of a dinar, a couple of pennies. V'hacha asham b'kesef shkolam. The carbon of the Shvuas HaBikadon is more expensive. The Torah cites a required minimum, which is two shekel. So they're both bringing karbanis. There's no makis. Just this one is more expensive. Okay, v'ligmar mino. Okay, so then we have a raya. We have a proof that there is no makis. According to this version, according to this girsa, indeed there is no makas by mezid of Shvuas HaPikadon. That answers our question. Then with the last rebbei, there's no raya because perhaps he wasn't warned in this case. Our question was if the eidim warned him ahead of time, perhaps that changes. But here, he knew what he was doing, but he wasn't warned by the eidim. There's no makas as an option. Lishna achrin tashma, there's another raya. Ein chayav nashigigos. Back to our Mishnah. That by Shvuas HaPikadon, if one it slipped his mind that he had the item in his possession, slipped his mind that he owed him the money, and he swore to deny it, he's not chayev unless he's cognizant of his debt. Mayin chayev al zdoina. Okay, so if he's doing it, amazing. What is he chayev? Osham, but Kesef Shkolim brings a carbon Osham. Apparently there's no Makas, even by Mezid. My love, Ashrubay, but Ashrubay, we're assuming that he was warned, and still there's no Makas, Achanam, Ashrubay here as well, we're speaking, he wasn't warned. Again, it doesn't relate to our discussion. Tashmai, comes another right from our Brisa, which compares the Aloch of Shuas HaPikadein to a Nazir who became Tamei, who will have to bring his carbon, etc. And the Brisa says like this, Loyim Amris B'Nazir Tamei, you can't compare one to the other. A Nazir who became Tamei is more severe than a Shuas HaPikadein. Shekein Loike, because he gets Malkus on account of what he did, on account of, you know, becoming Tamei. As opposed to Bikadon, there is no Malkus. End of quote. Let's analyze the Brisa. In the Kamar Leika, the very mention of Malkus in this Brisa indicates that there were Edom on the scene and they warned him, right? Mechlal de Ashrubay. And still the Brisa says, that's strictly by Nazir Tamei, not by Bikadon. The Kamar, the Brisa says, Bikadon doesn't get Malkus. What does he get? Avol Karban Maisi. Rather, he gets a Karban. There's your answer. Edom, Hasra, still, there's only karma. No, Mayin Eloika Dein and Nifter B'Malkus. When the Brisa says, Pikadon doesn't get Malkus, of course he gets Malkus. He can't get off the hook just with Malkus. Because, in addition to Malkus, he must bring a carbon as well. That's what the Brisa meant. In contrast to Nazir Tamei, Mechlal de Nazir Tamei, Nifter B'Malkus, as opposed to Nazir, who gets off the hook just with Malkus. What do you mean? Have you... You look at the Pasuk, right? Anybody who opens a Chumash, Bamidbar Perek Vav, sees a Nazir became Tamei, mid-process, brings a carbon Asham. How carbon Ksivbe? What do you mean Malkus is enough? No, says the Gemara, really, in terms of his punishment, Malkus is enough. In contrast to Shuas HaPikadon, where perhaps he must get both. He must get Malkus plus bring a carbon to be Mechaper. The Einish by Nazir Tamei is strictly Malkus. The reason why he brings a carbon is unrelated to atoning. It's to help him transition into the new process, to renew his Nazirus. Hasam the Maisei carbon, the reason why Nazir Tamei has to bring a carbon, Kiechi, to enable him to start the new process. The Techel Olei Nazirus B'Tahara, to activate upon him the new Nazirus. So, once again, we thought that the Brisa was indicating there's no Malkus by Shuas HaPikadon in all cases, and the answer was not necessarily. Okay, so back to our original question. Shuas HaPikadon is Chayiv even B'Mezid. What if he was warned by the Edom? Does that change things? Does he get Malkus now? Does he get Malkus and only Malkus? Or only Karb? Or Malkus and Karb? We sort of left it hanging without a conclusion. But, based on our discussion, the Gemara comes up with an interesting insight. Amru Rabban Kameh de Rabba. So let's recall that these were Talmidim of Rabba, who encountered Rav Kahana, presented them with this question. When they got back to the yeshiva, they related to their Rebbe, to Rabba, the question Rav Kahana asked them. What happens to this denier when he was warned by the Edom? Amru Rabban Kameh de Rabba. They presented the question to Rabba. Amar Luizi tells them, aside from that question, we have another interesting point here that just surfaced. Mechlal de Chilui Asrabei. It's clear from Rabba's question. His question was, okay, if he was warned, what happens? Does he get Malkus? But suppose if he was not warned, and despite the fact that we have Edom on the scene, they know the truth, that will very soon usurp his denial, right? Undo his whole position, prove him wrong, testify against him, and require him to pay. So really, his denial is not going to accomplish much in the long run. So even though we have the Edom here, but if, let's say, they did not warn him, in that case, it's pretty clear and simple. There's no question, Machayev. He's fully liable, he has to bring a carbon. The question is why? What did he accomplish with his denial? His denial wasn't really going to have any permanence. Kfiras dvaram ba'almu. It's just words, empty words. Ultimately, they were going to obligate him to pay anyway. So why is he chayiv? Kfiras dvaram ba'almu. Almu kasav rabba. It would appear from this discussion that Rabbi himself would hold that even in this case that's what it would seem from Rav Kahana, that he's chayiv, and Rabba is seeking to challenge that. No. Why would he be chayiv? If he's not really going to accomplish much with his denial. Alma kasava Rabba, it would appear from this presentation by Rabba that in fact Rabba disagreed, and he holds ha-kayfer b'mamon she'esh alev edem potter. When one denies a monetary claim, and it turns out there are edem that will testify to this claim, whether they're here or they're going to surface eventually, but ultimately his kefira, his denial, will not hold water, will not have any permanence, will not have any long-lasting effect. He's considered potter. Omer Rav Chanina l'Rabba. Rav Chanina sought to support Rabba's notion that in fact it's a worthless denial and has no consequence. Tanit Masailach, we have a brisa that supports you. V'chichesh bo. He denied the claim, denied the money. Says the brisa, prat lamoid lechad mashutfin. This excludes where he admitted to one of the menachim, one of the brothers. So two brothers approached him with a claim, and he admitted to one and denied the other one. Or lechad mashutfin, or to one of the partners. We'll see exactly what this means in a minute. Further, says the pasuk, v'nishbal sheker, he swore falsely. That covers typical cases, but not the following two cases. Prat leve b'shtar, leve b'edim. As opposed to a fellow who denies a debt upon which there is a document, a recording, or there are edim that know about it. In these cases, he's potter. So at this point in the Gemara, we figure the reason is very simple, because his denial will not really hold up, because his opponent has a shtar, has edim, and he's potter from Shvuas HaPikadon, as per Rabba's opinion. It's just empty words. Omerle, so Rabba, in all honesty, says like this, I appreciate your help, but this brisa isn't necessarily going to support my point. It's not necessarily speaking about my case. If it's only this price or latest sign, you can't really prove and support me. Because perhaps he admitted to owing the debt. The price is speaking that Bo'emer Lovisi, he acknowledges that he borrowed the money. He's just disputing some, side insignificant facts, side points. Bo'emer Lovisi, he says, yeah, I borrowed. Don't claim that you have edim. No, there were no edim there. So it's not so relevant to the issue. The fact is, he's going to pay the money, right? Or he says, yeah, I borrowed, but there was no document about it. And he swore about it. That's not really relevant, and that's not really so relevant, and it's not considered a monetary denial. As long as he acknowledges his debt and he's willing to pay. That's why he's potem shmos apikod. But if he's really denying the actual debt, perhaps he's chayev. Even if we know there are edim on the wings. How do we know? The Bryce is speaking about this type of interaction. Because if we go back to the beginning of the Bryce, the Kichesh Ba teaches us, Prat l'moid lechem na'achn or lechem na'shutn, as opposed to a fellow who admitted, conceded to one of the brothers or one of the partners. Now, what exactly took place? What were they claiming? What was he admitting? What exactly took place there? Are we speaking that there are two brothers claiming $100 from this fellow, and he admits to only, 50%, your part, your portion, so I admit to Reuven on 50, but I'm still in denial on the other 50 to Shimon. Why am I absolved? He's denying the other fellow's part. So why would he get off the hook? Apparently, there's no actual monetary denial. He's admitting everything. Right? Is there some sort of side point that he's disagreeing with? They claimed, you borrowed from both of us. We have a joint fund. You borrowed from our fund. We're both, plaintiffs in the case. And he responds with an acknowledgement as to the actual money that he borrowed. But he doesn't want to talk to one of the brothers. You're not a player. I borrowed only from you, not from the other fellow. So there's no real substantive denial here. V'amalu, and he responds to them as follows. Loi, no, incorrect. Mechad b'naicho yasfi, I'm going to borrow from one of you. But I'm willing to give back the full amount, but just to you. This is simply empty words. It's just, he's denying some sort of residual fact. It's not really substantive. And that's why he's potter. So that's the first part of the brayso. And we'll assume that that is, you know, the subject matter of the entire brayso. With the resha kfiras dvarim, assuming that the resha, since the resha is kfiras dvarim ba'alma, like we just explained, sefer, now we'll assume that sefer, the next part of the brayso, which speaks about ashtar, edem on the scene, now mikfiras dvarim, he simply denied secondary matter, secondary facts, such as where he admitted to the debt, acknowledged he's owing the money, but was making issues about some side points. Oh, there were no edim, there were no shtar, which is not really relevant to his debt. However, if he would be in denial of the money, perhaps he would be chayev, even if there were edim on the wings that eventually can disprove him. Because after all, in terms of his personal position, he executed a denial with a shvur. He should be chayev. So he's still not sure how to deal with that. Tashma, let's try another attempt at verifying this halacha. Eina chayv al shigigasa. Mishnah says that if the defendant was in the dark about the money, he forgot about it, he's not chayv. Umay chayv al zdoine, but in a zod, in a mazed situation, where is he chayv? Oshem b'kesef shkolim, he brings a carbon. My lab, zod in edim. We're assuming that there were edim that warned him. No, loizad in atzmai. There were no edim on the scene. It was just that he himself was cognizant, and he was denying willingly, knowingly, that's why he's chayiv. So again, we have no raya from this mission. Toshma, here comes another raya. This was back in last perek, by Shvor Sa'idus. He approached two teams of potential witnesses to come help him. They both turned him down. Hoyush teki te edim, kafa harishoina, first team turned him down, v'achakach followed by the second team who turned him down, kafa hashniya, shtein chayivus, they're both chayiv for doing that. Because either team could have helped him. So either one is denying and not living up to their obligations and in effect depriving him of the opportunity to, right? So the question is, Mishnah Mishnia Tischayev. I fully understand why team number two is liable. The Kafar Lokas Rishon, after the first team turned them down, they're kind of off the scene. So now the second team is his, you know, sole resource. So of course they're responsible. Ela Rishoina, my Mechaiva. But while both teams were potential candidates, potential edim, and he first approached the first team and turned them down, why they chayev? They can say, they can claim, they can shift the blame in effect. They can say, you still had a backup team. You could have gone to them. You didn't lose out because of us. Amay Mechaiva, Kai Moshniya, the second team is still available. So let's stop for a second. Oh, it would appear from this Mishnah that a kfira, a denial with a shvua relating to monetary issues, carries liability even if there are edim in the background that can rectify it, such as in this case. In which case, the first team is chayef, what they did, independent of the other team. No, Amar Ravina, says Ravina, no. We had the same discussion back in the previous paragraph. No. While the first team denied, there was no second team available. Because they were temporarily, halakhically disabled from offering testimony. They were puzzled. They were relatives. Hachav Ma'eskinim was speaking on Shaisa Shnia. Vishas Kfiras Rishayna. While the first one was denied, the second team was unavailable. Krevim and Shaisayim, they were married to two sisters. In which case, they can't join the same team and testify. And Shaisayim Goisasayis. So it happens that their wives were on the verge of death. So perhaps I would think, reviewed as though they're, you know, just about ready to testify, because as soon as that happens, they become non-relatives and they can testify. Perhaps I would think, most individuals in that dire circumstance are slated for death. So let's deem then kosher, which means to say that the first team can shift the blame to the second team, assuming they'll be available shortly to testify, so you'll have who to bank on. Kamash malon ha'ashtomiyas chayanin v'leshchivi. The answer is no. At this very moment, while the first team denied, the second team was not available because their wives were alive, they haven't died yet, so we pin the blame on the first team for denying. So again, we have no proof to our shayla. To Hashmai comes another attempt. Again, the question is, a kfira b'mokim edim, denying money, in a case where there are edim in the background, on the wing, in the wings, who could testify against me and undo my denial? So ultimately, I'm not going to accomplish much. Am I liable for that or not? Tashma, baal, shambayi, shaton, tanas ganav, pikadon. We have a fellow who allegedly had a pikadon, and he claims it was stolen. Shaton, tanas ganav, on the pikadon that he had. Vinishba, v'hoida, and he swore to that effect, and then he comes around and admits that the whole thing was a farce. Ubo Edom showed up as well to prove him wrong. What's his status? So we know that if a person is caught by the Edom, by way of Edom's testimony, he has to pay back double, kefal, because he stole. But that's only if he was criminated by way of Edus, in contrast to self-admittance, in which case he doesn't pay more than the principal, unless he swore falsely. That triggers a whole different system, Ashwasa Pikadon. In which case, if he comes around and admits, he has to pay the principal, plus a fifth, plus a carbon. So in this case, both happened. He admitted, and there were Edom that incriminated him. What's the status? It depends what happened first. If his admission preceded the arrival of the Edom, he's lucky, then he gets off the hook for the kefal, but he has to pay the chaymesh, and he has to pay the asham, mishal and keren, v'chaymesh v'asham, on account of his shvua sapikat. However, if the Edom's arrival preceded his admittance, his admission, his idah, mishal and tashlame kefal, so firstly he has to pay double because of the Edom, v'asham as well because of the Shvuas HaPikadon that he made. Apparently he's chayiv even when we have Edom. That's an answer to our question. No, here as well, we could be speaking a case where while he was denying, although there were Edom, but they were not able to testify, they were invalid because they had married two sisters. So at that point, his denial could have been permanent, and technically it's considered a monetary denial, in which case he would be chayiv for doing so. Amar Rav Yehuda Ravashi. Toshmai comes another raya. Chamurim menu shvosa pikadon. Shvosa pikadon is more chomer than shvosa edus. Shechayov and alzdoina makus. Val shugigosa osam b'keshem shkolim. Because b'mezid there is makus. B'shogig there is a carbon. Right? This is the same brisa we had on Amar Aleph. Midik Amar Loika, the fact that the brisa references malkus by shvosa pikadon, clearly there must be edim. Mechlal deike edim. And still the Brisa says, "V'ka'amar al-shigigasa." If he denied b'shegik, he brings a carbon. Hold it. But there were edim available. Asham b'kesef shkolim. Apparently, kfira b'makim edim is considered a real kfira with standard consequences. Amul Rav Mardechai, Rav Mardechai responded, "Ma'amino da'ahi, don't bring that Brisa into discussion." Now, who the Amul Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana already corrected that Bryce's, wording. Anot haninula, Rav Kahana earlier told us, right? I was the one who taught the Bryce, and this is the way I learned it. Vachat haninula, echad zedoyna, v'echad shagigasa, osham b'kesef shkolim, whether he violated b'shoigi, u'b'mezid, there's a carbon. So again, we're not speaking about Edom or Malkus. To Hashmai comes another, right? That was the other Bryce we brought on Amun Alf as well. In comparing Shvuas HaPikadon to a Nazar that became Tameh, comparing their, consequences. Lo yim amras b'nazir tamei, you can't compare to another tamei. Shekein loike, because he gets malchus. Tamei b'shvasa pikadon, shein loike, as opposed to pikadon, there's no malchus. Now, if we speak about malchus, clearly there are edim on the scene. Hey chidame, what are we speaking about? Ida leke edim. This is going to be the last and final raya, by the way. If we have edim on the scene, am I like ida leke edim? There are no edim on the scene. Am I like it? Why is there malchus? Elopshita dike edim. Clearly we have edim. Okay? And still the Brisa says, Uktani, Toyma b'shvosa pikadon. She'ain't like it. There's no malchus applicable to pikadon. Milku d'lalaki. Okay, there's no malchus. What is there? Yes, aval carbon ma'isa. We'll bring a carbon. Even when there are edim in the wings. Tifta the rabbi tifta. This is a final refutation on Rabbah's position. Because we see clearly, a kfira, even when there are edim around, constitutes a kfira. He denied it. He swore falsely. He has to suffer the consequences. And in fact, Rabbi Yechon Amar, He concurs with this conclusion. Hakoyefer b'mamon she'eshalav edim. He denies money even when we have edim that will come and testify against him and extract the money and retrieve the loss. He is chayiv because of what he did. However, b'shtar pater. If one denies money upon which there's documentation which enables the opponent to collect it, in this case, denial is worthless, he's not chayiv on account of shvuos ha'pikaton. What's the difference? Amar Papa, my time with Rabbi Yechon. Why this distinction between Edom and Shtar? Because Edom avidi demaisi. If he denies money upon which there are Edom to testify, Edom, you know what, they can die tomorrow. It's not a sure thing. His opponent will be able to utilize the Edom's, you know, service to retrieve his money. So ultimately, his denial can have permanence and therefore has consequence. As opposed to a Shtar, a document, a document's around for all time. Ha'amarach, it's right here, it's not going anywhere, which will enable him to collect, despite his denial. Omer Rav Huna, Breder Rishul Rav Papa. Well, you never heard of a shtar getting lost? Shtar anami, over the mirchas, a shtar can get lost. It's not a sure thing at all. So why do we say, Kofer, a moment that has a shtar, you're potter? Elam Rav Huna, I'll tell you why. There's a halachic barrier here. Hainu time of the Rabbi Yechon is based on the following halach. Mishum davashtar. When one has a document which enables him to collect a debt, a shtar allows you to collect from real estate. Right? Shibut karkos, you have that claim on his properties. And halach is. Rashi brings the Gemara later on the Membeis. There's no concept of swearing with respect to real estate claims. That's the halacha. So likewise over here, when he denied owing this money, upon which there's a shtar, which focuses primarily on real estate collection. So ultimately, his denial related to a real estate claim, to a certain extent, and therefore there's no consequence, there's no carbon. It's not as though he violated a shvuah sapikotin. Rashi says, Ein lo din chiv shvuah lehavi la carbon. There's no din chiv shvuah to generate a carbon, if, even when done falsely. You don't bring a carbon when the denial relates to real estate. Okay, now we shift to a slightly different variance of this halacha. Back to Shvuos HaEdus. Okay, so he approaches his two friends. Please come testify on my behalf. Now, their testimony related to some real estate claim. Okay, which is a very similar discussion to the previous one, except there it was shvuos ha'pikaton between two ordinary people. Here it's with respect to summoning the edim who refused to come and testify about a monetary claim. Mashbiyei dekarka, are they chayiv or not? Pligibor Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar. Machlokes between these two amiroim. Chad amar chayiv, v'chad amar pater. One says they're chayiv for uncooperation, and one says pater. This time we can conclude, we can clarify that in fact, to Rabbi Yechon, he's the one, the Amar Pater, who says they're Pater. Just as a minute ago, he told us the same by Shvuah Sapikon. There's no consequence for a Shvuah with respect to real estate claims. To Rabbi Yechon, the Amar Pater, but the Amar Rabbi Yechon, as Rabbi Yechon just told us, HaKoyfer b'mamon, she'esh alavedem, chay. If one denies money upon which we have edim, he's still chay because of what he did. But if there's a Shtar, he's Pater. In accordance with the explanation cited moments ago, Ukadrafuna, Breder Yeshua, because it relates to real estate. Likewise, the same would apply to Shvuah Sa'id. This time, okay, that's a pretty clear conclusion. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbevo. Perhaps we may suggest, Lema, that this machlek is between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar regarding liability in terms of a false Shvuah on real estate really links up to a previous machlekes in an earlier generation between two Tanaim, whether these halachas apply to real estate. Plukta de Rabbi Eliezer, here it's a Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, v'Rabban Kamifliki, the same machlekes that we find between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban. This Nan, we have a Mishnah, a Desanya, a Braisa. Is there a din of Ashavas Gezela? If one steals property, he chases the owner off the field, uses the field, and somehow the field got ruined, it got flooded. Is the robber responsible, as he would be responsible if he stole an item and something goes wrong, he has to repay a full item? as per the item's value during the moment of, you know, at the moment of robbery. But real estate perhaps is different. You can't really steal real estate. So all along it was the owner's, although he had no practical access, but it was really technically his, in his possession, in which case any loss that incurred is his, not the robber's. Interesting machlekes. Lema, should we say that our machlekes connects to the other machlekes, the sanyo? Hagoyzel saw the mechaveir of a shot fanar. He robbed his fellow's field, he chased him off the field, and a big river came by, flooded it, and it's all ruined. Chayiv lamed leisada. He has to compensate him for the lost field. Okay, so he has to give him a better field, a proper field. Divrei, Rabbi Eliezer, Shur Eliezer Shita, because the goslin is responsible for the well-being of the item, in this case the field, despite it being real estate. V'chacham Oimrim, no. The gzeila process, the chiyuvim of the goslin, which typically apply to items stolen, doesn't apply to real estate that was repossessed. Oimr lois, the robber can simply turn to the owner, here, enjoy your field. Harish ha'lefanecha, this is your field, it was all along yours, and you suffer the consequence. What's this machlekes based on? For Amina, and the question was, but my kemiflik, what's the machlekes based on? Depends how you analyze the psukim. In Vayikra Perikei, which discuss these things, discuss gezela, discuss swearing falsely, and the karbanos, swear sapikad, and all those things, are all in those psukim of Vayikra Hei. So if you work with the Riba Miet, you may recall this discussion from the beginning of the Masechta, there are two distinct approaches to learning these types of psukim. You can analyze it based on the method called klal prato klal, general, specific, general, which ends up netting you a smaller result than if you would apply the method called riba miet veriba, inclusive, exclusive, and inclusive. That allows you to cover more ground, to cover more items. So it all depends how you learn the psukim. Reb Lezer takes the more broad approach, riba miet veriba approach, which ends up excluding just one item from the halachas of gzela, which is shtar, loan document, which doesn't have inherent value, it's just representative. It's there to give you access to your claim to prove, right? It's not actual value, not an actual item of inherent value. So that's excluded. That's all, but property is included. Real estate is included. Chiyuvei gzela applies to property as well, as per Reb Lezer Shita. Rabbanan take the klal prat uklal approach, which ends up netting them less items and excluding more, pushing out more items, including real estate, as we're going to see. Reb Lezer Darish, Ribuye Yumiute. He takes that approach, which ends up including property. Rabbanan Dashi Kloli Prote, take the Kloli Prat approach, which ends up pushing out property. Reb Lezer Darish, Ribuye Yumiute. So we begin with the Pasuk V'chichesh Bamitei, denied perhaps anything. There's no specifics here in the pasuk. Riba covers anything, any item, including properties. Then we have itemization. Ipikaden, ipsumesiad, right? Something for safekeeping, a loan, miut. That's an exclusionary term. Only some and not others are covered by this halacha. Then we go back to a riba. Oy mikolasha yishava alav. Anything that he swore about. Chazav riba, we're back to inclusive. So we have riba, umiyet for riba, broad, exclusive, and broad again. Riba kol, everything is covered, pretty much. My riba, what are we covering? Riba kol mili, everything. Umay miyet, but we have to exclude something, otherwise the Torah would not go through this process. Miyet shtores. The least likely is shtores. Rashi explains, she'en gufan mamin. It's not actual money. She'en an elal rayish b'hem. It only serves to prove something, so that's most likely candidate for exclusion. But real estate is covered. Hence, the mitzvah of Heshev is a gzela, which makes it incumbent upon the robber to restore the owner with value as per time of robbery. That applies to real estate as well. Got flooded, pay up. And likewise, when it comes to you know, Shvuos and all those halachis, Shvuos Sheker, Shvuos Abikot, right? Same applies to properties, because it's all in the same discussion. Whether it's Shvuos Eidus, Shvuos Abikot, right? Rabbanan Dashi call it Prat, they take the call Prat approach, which ends up leaving property out of the deal. Pasuk begins with Chichesh Ba'amita, which is a klal, general term. V'pikon of Sumas Yad, Oy Begazel Prat, those are, you know, specific items. Oy Mekala She'ishav Alav, that's again general, Chazav HaKalal, so we have a klal, or Prat or klal, you have to do nothing. Prat, you can only include items which share similar properties to the specifics mentioned in the Pasuk. Ma Prat, Mefurash, Davar HaMetatel Gufay Mamet. So we're speaking about items that are stolen, money, etc. So it's something which is metal, you can move it around with Gufay Mamet and it has inherent value. So anything that you want to include has to feature the same components. Ma Prat Mefurash, Davar HaMetatel Gufay Mamet. I've called Davar. Sure, include everything which is HaMetatel Gufay Mamet that can be moved around. And has inherent value, as opposed to real estate, which can't be moved around. Yotzu Kakoyes, Shem Metatlin. Yotzu Avadim, slaves as well, are excluded, because halachically they're regarded like an estate, like property. Shukshil Kakoyes, so they're out. And finally, Yotzu Shtoris, loan documents as well. Shafel Bishem Metatlin, although you can move them around, but they don't have inherent value. Ein Gufan Mamon. So in a nutshell, according to Rabbanon, properties are out of the picture. According to Blazer, they're in the picture. And when we say the picture, we mean halachas of gzeila, halachas of shvua, man the machayev kerba lazer. So in fact, the one that says that there is a chiv of karban upon swearing falsely regarding properties, whether it's shvua seedus or shvua sabikadin, is going to kerba lazer. Properties are covered. But man the patek rabban, the one who exempts real estate from all these halachas, is going like the rabban. Amar leis, so actually, Rabbi Avo responded to this presentation. He says, no, not necessarily are the two things linked. Yeah, the one that applies carbon for Shavuos Pekadin, Shavuos Eidus on property, certainly it's going on Kerb Lezer, it fits very well. But the other sheet, Rabbi Yechon, who says, there is no Chiv, I can tell you like this. I don't necessarily have to connect only to the Rabbanon. Right? And not like Rabbi Lezer. Because all the Rabbi Lezer says, karka is covered by the halachas of gzeila, but not by shvua. Shvua is different. But I feel the Rabbi Lezer moide regarding the chiyuv of a carbon for the you know, the shvua on property. Even Rabbi Lezer would agree. The Rachman Amar, because the pasuk says mikoil. The pasuk says mikoil asher yishav alav lasheker, to tell you v'loy hakoil doesn't cover everything. So in this case, we certainly will rule out karka. There's no carbon upon swearing falsely regarding karka. Even Rabbi Lezer would agree that he's pot. Okay, so we have this interesting question, whether the halachas of shvuas, edus, shvuas apikoden, and the karbonas that are brought, do they apply to property or not? Amar Papa, Mishmei D'Rava. Let's take a look at our Mishnah and try to draw a conclusion. Masis namideka. We can deduce from our Mishnah that there's no chiv of karban by shvua on karka. Because, you know, the Mishnah speaks about a fellow who approached his friend, where's my animal? He says, I don't know what you're talking about, right? And then it speaks about an eved. Why doesn't the Mishnah just stick with eved all along? Why do we go from a bull to an eved? Why that switchover? Tiktoni ganafti is shayri, claimed his animal. Voimer le ganafti, you stole my bull. No, I didn't steal it. Mashbiach ani, are you ready for a shvua? Amar Omer says, sure. Man, it was discovered that he's lying. Chayiv, he's chayiv. And then we shift over to a case of an eved who claimed that he was vilu ganafti is avdi lektoni. Why doesn't the mission just, you know, bring examples from avodim all along? You stole my eved. No, I didn't steal it. You know why? My time, lav mishum de'eved iskish l'karkois. Apparently because it's not applicable by an eved. As said earlier, an eved has the same status like property. Ve'in mivin carbon, al kfiras shibit karkois. There's no carbon account of denying a real estate, i.e. slave claim. That's a right to Rav Yaichanan Shita. Amra Papi, Mishmei Durava. Okay, that may be so, but take a look at the next part of the Mishnah where we have a conflicting implication. Emo Seifa, the last line of the Mishnah, which summarizes the Mishnah. Zaklal, this is the rule. You know, whenever it says Zaklal, it's coming to cover something which is not, which is unsaid, right? Zaklal, this is the rule, covers, which covers everything. Kol Mashalem al pi atzmei chayiv, a denial with respect to money that you would pay on your own upon admitting. If you deny it with a shvo, you chayiv. But if it relates to a fine, a knas, a penalty, which one is not obligated to pay, you're not chayiv to pay by your own volition unless the bezin imposes it on you. So if you turn that down, if you deny that one, you're potter. Now, zeh klal, again, is an inclusive term. What case, which was unsaid, is really being alluded to by the term zeh klal? Lasuye might cover what more? Lav lasuye, gonaftas avdi, will assume it's covering this case just mentioned. You stole my slave. No, I didn't. He's chayiv for that. So from the first part of the Mishnah, it would seem that a claim against an eved is potter, because it's karga, and karga is potter. And here it sounds just the opposite. So that's the general rule of thumb. When we have conflicting implications, we just back off. We can't really conclude anything because we're not sure which one is, you know, the main point, which one is sort of which implication to focus on, and you know which one is to be deemed secondary, and just you know based on matching language or whatever. So we're not really sure which way to go. And hence we have no conclusion on this question. Okay, so in summation, we basically have two discussions today. One is regarding Rabbi's question, Shuas HaVikadon, B'mezid, when we have Edom who warned him. What's the end result? We stick to carbon? We switch to Malkus? Perhaps both? We're not sure. Next question. If one denies money, Sheishal of Edom. And the Edom can come and undo his denial. He's not really going to accomplish much. The conclusion was, he's still chayiv upon what he did. And what about these liabilities regarding real estate claims? Kefer pikadon on karka. Right? Or Shvos Edus regarding Edus karka. According to Rabbi Lazar is chayiv, or Rabbi Yechon is potter. Gemara linked it to another machlekes and then unlinked it. And in terms of our Mishnah, we didn't really have any raya one way or the other. All the best to you and atzlacha.